Blog Talk Radio. That would take the secure flight program and apply it to Amtrak trains. The Democratic senator from New York says the list is vital in order to prevent future attacks. Yeah, right. Critics charge that the move would represent nothing more than an open move toward domestic checkpoints and internal passports. I don't like this at all. Last week, the government issued an advisory to law enforcement agencies, warning them to increase security around train stations and subways. Materials supposedly gleaned from Obama's house in Pakistan revealed an operation against trains at an unspecified location in the United States on the 10th anniversary of 9/11 attacks, reported NBC News. The advisory claimed al-Qaeda's plans to tip a train by tampering with the rails so that the train will fall off the track in either a valley or on a bridge. It is not clear how the government reached this conclusion, given that according to the U.S. officials, there are no references to the specific plot or to specific cities, nor is there any imminent threat. We have no information of any imminent terrorist threat to the U.S. rail sector, but wanted to make our partners aware of the alleged plotting, Department of Homeland Security spokesman Matt Chandler said in a statement. We want to stress that this alleged al-Qaeda plotting is based on initial reporting, which is often misleading or inaccurate and subject to change. Boy, they really covered their bases about that. They don't have anything, in other words. Since the ever-increasingly farcical bin Laden death rate, there has been an overload of paranoia and false terror alarms in major U.S. cities. A show of force has been initiated at major rail stations with militarized police in cameo gear and TSA and VIPR teams conducting increased amounts of random warrantless searches. The following CBS News video highlights these suggestions and notes that such heightened security is the norm in Israel, intimating that the U.S. should follow suit. Let's take a look at that and see.
Death is inevitable. Terrorists are expected to aim for more vulnerable soft targets like shopping malls, even museums. CBS 2's Hazel Sanchez reports.
They are places jam-packed with people, pedestrian malls, shopping centers, and stadiums.
Yeah, I feel safe, but of course, in the back of my head, I know that things can happen.
Counterterrorism expert Yuval Aviv says terrorists seeking revenge for Osama bin Laden's death will turn to attacks less dramatic than the destruction on September 11th, focusing instead on soft targets like hotels, places of worship, and mass transit hubs.
It's easier, less complicated for them to carry out. What they're going to achieve, if they're successful, is to kill as many people as possible.
Security consultant David Bohm says the future could include security checkpoints entering all soft targets, like your local department store. Bohm says even with the police presence, the areas are vulnerable.
The reason it's called soft is because it's so easily accessible to anyone. There has to be security checks for the safety of all people.
And security is a turnoff for some New Yorkers.
There's a police presence, and they search someone with a backpack. Somebody who looks not really suspicious, but it's random. So I would go if that is the case. Not if everyone is being searched.
It's better to be safer than sorry.
Despite the challenges to secure high-volume soft targets like here in Times Square, security experts say one of the best lines of defense already exists and doesn't cost a thing.
We are millions and millions of eyes and ears. We need to assist each other and keep each other safe.
Freedom coming with an increasingly heavy price.
So
in Midtown, Hazel Sanchez, CBS 2 News.
Soft target security is a long-standing practice in Israel where people and their possessions are carefully examined in many public venues.
The question that I want to ask is what security company is behind all this?
Israeli companies.
Yeah, they want to just go and make money, that's all.
USA.
It's like the phony restless leg syndrome that pharmaceutical companies
put on you.
Yeah, no different.
Okay. Well, Obama, we could not say definitely that bin Laden was there. During a 60-minute interview with CBS News last night, Barack Obama admitted that U.S. intelligence was only 55% to 45% confident that
Bin Laden was even in the compound.
Can I finish, please?
Yeah.
Even in the compound raided last Sunday night, fearing that the occupant could actually have been a prince from Dubai, a skepticism shared by residents of Abbottabad, one of whom told the BBC that the man seen watching television and the tapes released by the White House Saturday was in fact a neighbor and not Bin Laden. I thought that was really hysterical.
This is from Prison Planet, by the way.
Right. And the relevant comments are made after the 10-minute mark. Obviously, we're going into the sovereign territory of another country and landing helicopters and conducting a military
operation. U.S. President Barack Obama's dramatic announcement that the world's most wanted man, Osama bin Laden, was shot dead in a compound in Pakistan's northwestern city of Abbottabad surprised the world. Our correspondent, Daniel Khan, has traveled to the garrison city and talked to people there to bring us their side of the story.
At a distance of about...
That wasn't what was supposed to happen.
At the end of the day, this was still a 55-45 situation. I mean, we could not say definitely that Bin Laden was there. He had not been there. Then there would have been significant consequences. Had he not been there, then there would have been significant consequences, the president added. The White House's massive uncertainty that Bin Laden was even in the compound and that U.S. forces could instead have been raiding a prince from Dubai is interesting given the fact that the vast majority of neighbors who lived around the house in Abbottabad remain convinced that both the man who lived there and the individual shown watching television in the tape released by the U.S. officials Saturday was not Bin Laden. In a BBC report, Orla Gurin interviewed dozens of people who were adamant that Bin Laden did not live in the compound, with none of them ever witnessing him or hearing rumors that he was there in the 5 years that Obama claimed Bin Laden was a resident in the town. It is all fake. Nothing happened, said a newspaper seller who has been working in the town for 50 years.
Another resident told Gerwin that the man seen in the video footage of Osama allegedly flicking between television stations is, in fact, his neighbor, not Bin Laden. His name is Akbar Khan. He owns the house they said was Osama's house. I know him very well, the man stated. After speaking to more than 50 people in the market, Gurin found only one who believed that the man watching television was Bin Laden. As we can document it on Saturday, while the face of the man watching television can hardly be seen, the other video released by the White House show a Bin Laden that looks a lot younger and healthier than he did in 2001, and all of the other videos look almost identical to footage first released in 2007 by the Pentagon front group SITE. A separate CCTV news report features interviews with Abbottabad's residents who swore that Osama was never there, and that a fable had been invented to help the U.S. isolate Pakistan geopolitically. I have lived here all my life. I have never seen Osama bin Laden come or go from here. We are a close-knit community. At least we would have seen him once, but we did not, said another. The members of Pakistan's anti-terrorist units could not confirm bin Laden's presence either. According to the report, which noted that the consensus that the whole operation was a hoax prevailed. And last week, another Abbottabad resident who lived 5 minutes from the alleged bin Laden compound and also owned a house next door said he never saw any sign that bin Laden lived in the house, adding that the area was restricted due to it being next door to a Pakistani military facility and that all new residents had to show ID cards before they could enter the area. And so that's that. I don't know what this is.
Speak to our correspondent, Imtiaz Tayeb, who's in Abbottabad for us right now. So, Imtiaz, people there had a bit of time to digest all this, the fact that they had the world's most wanted man living right under their noses.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reaction to the news that Osama bin Laden was captured and killed here right on the doorstep of this neighborhood has been mixed. Reactions ranging from confused to bewildered. Some people even finding it amusing that America's most wanted fugitive, the man behind the September 11th attacks in the United States, was here in their town of Abbottabad. Now, I'm actually here with an eyewitness by the name of Jahangir Khan. Jahangir, if you just stand right here for me. Jahangir, in the early hours of the morning, you heard some explosions. Tell me what you saw.
Actually, I was almost awake, actually, 1 o'clock. I was talking to my friend in UK on 995, and I hear the helicopter was moving. And I was talking to my wife, what's happening? And it was a little bit scary. We came out, and I have seen the helicopter. I went top of my roof, and because it was totally dark, there was no light, but I have seen them. It was, I think it was Apache helicopter. So they were moving around 12 o'clock. Then they start firing a few minutes. Then they came again, a few minutes firing. Then around 1 o'clock, we went inside. We thought, I don't know what happened. Then at 1 o'clock, we went inside. And then 1:15, we hear the explosion, like big noise. Then we cheered and we came out from, we jumped outside from the house and we saw all the people was going up to the, then we went up. Then I hear the people was crying there somewhere, like, then we run there because my cousin is living there, right? It's 5 minutes walk if I run from my house to there. Then we run there, me and my brother and a few other people. We run there, but when we went there, there was all fire going on. There was nothing. And then army came over, they took over. We were there until 4 o'clock.
Okay, so you woke up in the morning and then you heard the news. It was an assault carried out by the United States in which they captured and killed Osama bin Laden. What did you
when
think
I
when you heard
back
the news?
At 4 o'clock from there to my house, I opened the news and this says about Osama bin Laden. I was shocked. And to be honest, I'm living here all my life. And you know that if somebody new comes in your street, in your area, you always know. Like somebody is, you can feel them, you can see the movement. I ever seen anything like that. I can't believe that.
You know, a lot of people in your neighborhood have said that they were suspicious about this house. Was there anything about this house that you found suspicious, that you found strange about?
To be honest, I always go in the evening, walk from my house to the same house where they said the Osama bin Laden, the next house is my other house, which I rented to my cousin friend. And I, every day in the evening, we went there by walk with my wife for the just walking. I never seen anything like that, and that's why I can't believe that. And to be honest, it's not true. Osama, maybe some other people, but Osama is not a, you know, the bird who came, fly, went to the inside, because this is a restricted area. When we came out from outside to come here to, always army will say, hey, where's your ID card? Yeah. So it's not believed.
All right. Thank you very much. Interesting reaction. That was Jahangir Khan, a local resident here who said he walked by this house quite frequently and just really had no idea or certainly would never conceive that Osama bin Laden, the world's most wanted man, could be living right on his doorstep.
Yeah, a guy was living right near there. There's a military base there, right next in the adjacent to that area. So it's a restricted area. I can see that.
Mm. Yeah. He said ID cards had to be shown all the time.
Yeah. So it's a crock of crap. Anyway, let's see.
Incident. In McCord, incidents like collateral murder happen almost daily in Iraq.
I just show these bombings and these
terrible
things.
Behavior modification drugs like liquid trust are coming. Science fiction writers have often imagined a world where pop pill to cure or curb rage of ills, but according to a new book, The Compass of Pleasure, that futuristic world may not be far off. The book by John Hopkins University neuroscientist David J. Linden explores the search for drugs that may alter behavior by working on the brain.
Yeah. So, that may be true.
Okay. drugs are often called psychopharmaceuticals, and they can be used to stop smoking, quit drinking, ward off midnight cravings, or even stay faithful to our spouse. Critics argue that it is dangerous to meddle in human behavior, which has many nuances and factors that are poorly understood. There is also the possibility for harmful side effects, as anyone who's seen a pharmaceutical ad on TV might suspect. Further, could behavior-altering drugs become tools of criminals or even terrorists? The book's author, Mr. Linden, told the New York Post that the emerging field possesses several important ethical questions. He said, "Do you honestly think that the FDA will approve a drug to keep men from cheating? I don't think so. Even if a drug has no side effects, if it was the perfect drug, I don't think society is going there." However, Mr. Linden misses the fact that the FDA has no jurisdiction over drugs made in other countries, which are already the source of millions of pills routinely smuggled into this country, often through legal mail services via online orders. While Merck or Eli Lilly might not be marketing No Cheat in the next few years, it could conceivably appear in the black market, fueled by the anxiety of worried lovers. When it comes to such a class of compounds, an early entrant to the legal market is a product called Liquid Trust, which is said to be based on natural hormone oxytocin, sometimes called the cuddle hormone. Scientists know oxytocin is released after sex and during breastfeeding, and is thought to play a role in bonding between people. Liquid Trust, which sells for $30 for a quarter of an ounce, is said to offer the power of trust based on a study that found a nasal spray of oxytocin seemed to increase trusting behavior. However, there is a lack of evidence that Liquid Trust will produce the desired effect in the real world, and Mr. Linden has expressed skepticism that a room spray could deliver enough concentration of oxytocin to make an impact on behavior. Other possible psychopharmaceuticals cited by Mr. Linden include those that may one day interrupt or reroute the body's natural pleasure processes. Such pills could therefore help end the cravings that lead to negative behaviors like smoking and drinking too much alcohol, taking illegal drugs, or even overeating. Mr. Linden points to the current drug naltrexone, which is thought to block the brain's opioid receptors for drugs like heroin and alcohol. In other words, after taking naltrexone, a user no longer feels the effect of the heroin or alcohol. Could other future pharmaceuticals have more significant effects on behaviors? It's hard to say, but current research suggests that the possibilities are substantial. And this article was from Mail Online. And it was by Brian Clark Howard.
Yeah. Okay. So let us see some more here.
When we just finished that, you got to go back to
it. No, I know. There's other stuff here. Okay. Be wary of the digital deception. This is about a 4-minute video.
Mm.
I thought it might be interesting too.
The audio is good.
Yeah. So let's see.
Not really behind
the weather. Yeah, it's a green screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Yeah.
They're reading off something else.
Right. And you think that they're actually
pointing to something. They're not pointing to anything.
Right. It's just a blank green screen. So anyway, that's okay. All right. The right to protest being undermined by police.
This is in the UK, I think.
Yeah. And half of children unnecessarily receive scans for head injuries. Interesting.
Oh, listen to this. Tony Blair used children's cash to set up offices. This is awful.
Prime Minister, did you want to read it?
Go ahead.
Prime Minister David Cameron revealed the money came from the Department for International Development and is meant to fund humanitarian work in developing countries. But it was spent on rooms at the exclusive American Colony Hotel in Jerusalem, where Mr. Blair spends 1 week a month in his role as peace envoy to the Middle East. The 19th century hotel near the old city of Jerusalem is one of the most exclusive in Israel. A suite costs $550 a night.
And this is from express.co.uk.
Hey. And cash was paid in 2007 as Britain's contribution to Mr. Blair's work representing the EU, America, and Russia and the United Nations. David Ames, Tory MP for South End West, said the DFLD should not be giving him money. It should be spent on the world's poor. Mr. Blair.
In today's Daily Express, the £15 billion scandal as Greeks beg again. Britain could face a massive
This is about it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. See what it says.
Art lovers have long thought that art is important to our well-being, but they had no proof until now. New research into how the brain works by...
That's the wrong one. Wait just a minute. Sorry, folks.
Give us a second here. You got to let it come up.
Hello, welcome back to Dennis Towers. I'm not outside the Spanish football ground today. I'm not in my own garden. I'm in back in the scruffy study where I do most or a lot of my work for the Express.
Quite frankly, nothing bores me more than listening to an English journalist. Anyway.
In today's Daily Express, Diana Ringquist.
X that out.
They just start on you.
Anthrax vaccine. Children are targeted for testing. This really bothered me. On May 2nd, 2011, the Department of Health and Human Services announced it will buy 3.42 million doses of BioThrax, a vaccine developed by the military to counter its weaponized anthrax that it also helped develop. The problem is the vaccine, known to be worthless in the event of an attack because of the time it takes to become effective, they don't know for sure that it is, and you have to get two doses of the vaccine to get any benefit at all. Emergent proudly supports the U.S. government's efforts and unwavering commitment to meet its stated need of 75 million doses of anthrax vaccine, said Fouad El Hibri, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of Emergent BioSolutions. It was a great day at BioSolutions. They just unloaded millions of doses of untested, unproven, mostly likely worthless white elephant they purchased from the military. But BioSolutions wants to test their vaccines on kids just the same.
Why? Let's see.
Mm-hmm. As if the 1 in 110 children suffering from autism and other neurological impairments, along with the increased rates of sudden infant death as a result of the 63 forced vaccines foisted upon innocent infants and toddlers under the age of 5, was not enough. And as Gardasil continues to kill and permanently injure young girls and now boys, along comes Emergent BioSolutions, with a brand spanking new idea, let's test our anthrax vaccine on children. And what is clearly a profit-motivated plan devoid of any sense of morality or ethics, Department of Human Health and Services, another of those corporate federal agencies which operates devoid of any meaningful oversight, is planning on using a little-known provision of 45 CFR-46.407 to allow the use of unproved, untested, and questionable pharmaceuticals of all kinds on children, and will not now be used to allow Emergent BioSolutions to test their useless and deadly vaccines for anthrax on children. While this regulation does at some point require the consent of the child and the parents for testing, it also allows for uninformed consent and readily admits that injury and death could be the result. But this should be expected because it is for the greater good or national security or some other genocidal jingo. The use of this vaccine was developed by those fine folks at Fort Detrick, Maryland, the same place they mutilated and weaponized several strains of anthrax as totally uncalled for. The vaccine was sold to BioSolutions, which stockpiled it and now needs to recoup the investment. What better way to make a huge and unwarranted profit than by selling death in a needle to the government for some mysterious bioweapons threat that would have to generate from right here inside of our country? And how can I make such a claim? Logically, the only way a vaccine for some future disease or infection can be effective is if you know the structure of the disease, in this case, weaponized anthrax, since other countries have developed their own secret genetically identifiable version of weaponized anthrax. The only way an effective vaccine could be developed for anthrax attack is if you were the developer of the strain. How else would you know what the vaccine should contain?
Aside from the immorality of even considering testing a deadly vaccine on unsuspecting and vulnerable children, is the fact that this vaccine could take 5 or more weeks and 2 doses in order for it to become effective. And assuming it is effective, in the interim, DHHS admits that a fair number of children could die or be permanently injured from the testing, but this should be viewed as collateral damage. Acceptable levels of death and injury that should not exceed the normal levels of death and injuries from other medications and vaccines. Now, my concern now is those children residing in orphanages, institutions, and foster care who can and many times are used as income generators between the so-called guardians and the pharmaceutical companies and are essentially treated as disposable property and fit for use in experimentation with untested and unproved vaccines and medications. The most recent instances of this practice to be exposed were in states such as Alaska and Florida, where 70 to 80% of foster children were forced to take psychotropic drugs as pharmaceutical manufacturers contacted what state agencies, doctors, and psychiatrists willing to subject the children to the drugs for a fee. Of course, your friendly neighborhood FDA was right in there defending the pharmaceutical companies and encouraging the states like Florida not to bar the use of kids for test trials of drugs, and no vaccine is needed. The idea that a vaccine is being pushed for anthrax is absolutely one of the most absurd ideas to come along in quite some time. Cipro is a known and accepted antidote to anthrax. It is effective 99% of the time and can be used if and when an anthrax attack should occur. It is readily available and should be in constant supply across the country if the threat of an anthrax attack is actually possible. I really pity these unprotected children, you know, or children in the state protection. It's just, you know, that's how they get rid of them. Kill them. And it's just a planned genocide method of getting rid of your unwanted children.
Here's a good one. Bank of America to start charging 30% on credit cards. My God.
Absolutely.
Starting June 25th of this year, Bank of America, that's usury, will start charging more and more of their credit card customers in APR of almost 30%. According to a letter that came in the mail today, the new rate would apply. Definitely.
Amazing.
I can't believe that. I hope everybody cancels their cards.
I would hope they would.
This is from the Daily Mail.
I would hope they would. Let's see. If you make a single late payment, Bank of America may raise your interest rate to as much as 29.99%. The new rate would only apply to new purchases, not existing balances. That's one of the few good things about the CARD Act. But according to recent surveys, over 15% of customers have made at least one late payment in the last 12 months. I know we've done it once or twice.
From a free market perspective, the new late payment policy isn't terrible, but in practice it still stinks. That's because, like most fees and penalties charged by banks and credit card companies, it'll be more onerous for the poorest and most vulnerable. Think about it. If you have good credit and a good job, who cares if you make a late payment? If your credit card company assesses a penalty rate of 30% on new purchases, you can just switch to a different card. But if your Bank of America card is your only source of revolving credit, then you're pretty much stuck with the new interest rate, and over time, more and more customers will end up with the new penalty rate because of a late payment. Moreover, it will end up being customers who can least afford or will end up paying the new rate because Bank of America will most likely refrain from instituting high penalty rates on customers they know can simply walk away. In other news, the Federal Reserve plans to keep short-term interest rates near zero so you can expect to receive a penalty rate on your savings indefinitely.
So they're allowing these bastards 30% and giving the saving person, the individual, zero. Let's see. This one struck me today, and I wanted to read it. Bad news. The massive nuclear fallout cloud of highly radioactive iodine hammers Japan. Several nuclear experts have stated Japan has been incredibly lucky that the nuclear radiation coming out of the Fukushima nuclear plant has been blowing out to sea. Well, experts warn that if the plume blew onshore, it would cut Japan in half, creating a dead zone between the north and the south. And bad news comes from the latest nuclear iodine dispersion simulations that show that Japan just got hammered with a highly radioactive cloud of nuclear iodine that blew directly onshore. The latest Japan nuclear radiation forecast shows Japan getting hammered with radioactive iodine. And
let's read the rest of this article.
Yeah, it's quite good.
Takes a minute for it to come up. And this is from Alexander Higgins' blog.
Yeah. Let's see. They're showing this cloud. They got a map here showing this cloud. See that?
Moving along, yep.
Oh, my God.
Right over Japan.
Iodine all the way up through. This is, I thought there was more description here, but it's not.
It might be worth you going till you can see how the cloud travels in over time.
Yeah, how it's going to affect the entire, look at that, entire country is affected by it. Wow. Oh well, folks.
I can't imagine what that radiation fallout is. And what that'll do to people. I mean, where are the people going to go? They're going to take in a million, is another country going to take in a million people? I don't think so.
These are alerts here. California plutonium 43 times higher than accepted limits. Hawaii was 11 times highest level in 20 years. radioactive Fukushima plutonium and strontium bombarding U.S. West Coast since March 18th. Latest Japan Fukushima nuclear radiation disaster headlines. Japan.
Those are articles.
Yeah, Japan officially orders censorship truth about Fukushima nuclear reactor. Cover-up of Japan Fukushima nuclear reactor fallout forecasts exposed San Francisco milk iodine radiation 2,600% above EPA levels. Smoke in San Francisco. Yeah. Complete iodine rain radiation update. Idaho rain. My brother lives in Idaho. 14,000% above EPA limit.
Wow.
As previously posted, Lucas Hickson tipped us off to the fact the EPA has been detecting plutonium and strontium along the entire West Coast used since March 18th. Discovery came after Lucas found that the Evidence Custom EPA data search contained several radioactive isotopes that the EPA was presenting to the public as the all-inclusive list of radiation being detected. Using the advanced search, I pulled all of the rainwater tests which listed below, showing dozens of cities and iodine radiation in the rainwater across the U.S. with levels far above the EPA drinking water limit. And Boise, Idaho was 14,066% above the limit, EPA limits.
We'll see if we can find some places.
Yeah,
Albany, New York.
My brother lives in
Albany,
Boise.
How about Albany, New York?
Yeah, 1,000 times above. That's pretty close to us.
Hartford,
866.7% higher than normal ratings for what, iodine.
Mm-hmm.
And
Boston, 656.7%.
Yeah. Knoxville, Concord, Mass, or Concord, New Hampshire, 800%. Albany, 7%. Man, everybody. I mean, every single city, major city in the country, all right, is getting blasted. But the worst blasts are in the Northeast and the West. Isn't that weird?
Mm.
Midwest across to the Northeast. And I mean, some of these figures are absolutely staggering.
Boise has the worst.
Yeah.
Boise, Idaho.
So where my brother lives, huh? So it's like, it's pretty scary business. So, folks,
it's all showing up in the rain.
It's all showing up, yeah. 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 Let's see what the latest Fukushima headlines are.
We don't hear anything about it on the news anymore.
No,
it's like
we're
it
not.
Didn't even happen.
No.
On the mainstream news, that is.
Yeah. Actually, it's not. They don't even have it in this section. So why bring it up? Why say you got it when you haven't got it?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to the next article, Leo, please.
Well, here's one. NASA is to launch telescope that will see into the past. Light from distant galaxies, billions of light years away from us, is so faint that it shifts from the visible spectrum into the infrared segment and becomes heat. It can be detected only by instruments cooled at almost absolute zero. The U.S. Space Agency, NASA, is building a new space telescope that will be cooled in both senses of the word in the clean room of NASA's Goddard Space Center. Outside Washington, engineers are building a new infrared space telescope named after NASA's second something. Hang on a second. Named after NASA's, where were we?
NASA's second director, James Webb. They hope that when deployed in 2014, it will help them look many billions of light years into the past. The deputy senior project scientist for the telescope, Jonathan Gardner, says it's 16.5 meter wide, that's 21 foot wide, mirror will be able to detect extremely faint infrared signals because it will be kept at a very cold temperature, close to absolute zero, minus 459 degrees Fahrenheit. A large radiated screen the size of a tennis court will shield it from the warmth of the sun and the earth. But how will scientists be able to look into the past? We can see back in time because light takes time to get from there to here. So as we look further and further away, it takes longer and longer for the light to get from where it's emitted to here, and we can actually see backwards in time. But if we look far enough away, we're actually looking back to when the universe was much younger than it is today, when the light was emitted from these galaxies. We're looking at the universe when it was younger, and we're looking back most of the way to the Big Bang, Gardner explained. Gardner says scientists want to know when the first galaxies were formed. What did they look like? What were their features? How were the stars born? Many are also hoping to find something we don't yet even know exists. The telescopes will be equipped with 3 infrared cameras, more sensitive than ever before. But its most interesting parts are the special gold-coated mirrors that form the big primary mirror. The primary mirror is made up of 18 hexagonal segments, as you can see on the model. Each of these segments is supported by actuators, which can move. So during the lifetime of the mission, when it's in orbit, we can send the commands to move these mirrors this way and that way. We can constantly keep them in alignment in a common focus, he said. Jonathan Gardner says the new telescope will be available to scientists around the world whose projects will be chosen according to their scientific value. We will ask for proposals from astronomer, any university in any country can write a proposal for what they want to do with the telescope. The committee, probably about 100 astronomers, will consider these proposals, and they will read all the proposals and choose the very best that will be done that year, Gardner stated. Gardner says the process makes sure that the telescope is doing the best science it can, answering the most important, relevant, current questions. The new telescope is scheduled to be launched in 2014 and is expected to function around 10 years. This is very exciting. The life expectancy is limited by the quantity of fuel in the booster jets used for periodical adjustment of its position in space. The telescope will be stationed 1.5 million kilometers or 932,000 miles from Earth, so astronauts will not be able to visit and replenish its fuel. That's very exciting. We got a lot of information from the Hubble.
Oh, yeah.
And what... Where was that from? That was from news.com.
Yeah.
It was very interesting, I think. I didn't hear anything on the mainstream news about that. I think
no.
It's an interesting...
No, you know, it's amazing the stuff that they don't report, you know. Just amazing. This is frightening because I've read several things on it. Recently, but Dick Cheney is trying to promote the U.S. to do torturing.
Yeah, I saw that. He's trying to legitimize it.
Yeah. So, but here we go. He says, now that the government claims it offed Osama bin Laden, never mind the complete lack of evidence, it is time to elevate the brutal and medieval techniques the government said it used to break the case. Darth Vader, a.k.a. Mr. Darkseid, Dick Cheney, former Justice Department official John Yoo, who said it is legal and permissible to crush the testicles of little boys to exact information, and Congress critter, anti-jihad crusader Peter King from New York, all said this week, yes.
And that was from deprogram.net.
Yeah, here it is here. Donna said this week that enhanced interrogation, otherwise known as torture, is a vital element in the war against manufactured enemies.
Here's that Peter King.
Yeah, Mr. Douchebag.
Can't stand him.
Continuing now with our special factor coverage, the death of Osama bin Laden. Joining us from Washington, New York, Congressman Peter King, head of the House Homeland Security Committee. Congressman, right off the bat, tell me something I don't know. Tell us something we don't know.
Well, I don't know if everyone knows this or not, but you mentioned the fact that we obtained information several years ago, vital information about the courier for Obama. We obtained that information through waterboarding. And so for those who say that waterboarding doesn't work, to say that it should be stopped and never used again, we got vital information which directly led us to bin Laden.
Wow.
Also,
wait, let me stop you there. I did not know that, and I'm sure most of my audience did not at all. Explain how that went down. How did we get that information? Where did it come from? Was it Guantanamo Bay?
It came from an overseas prison where Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was being interrogated, and waterboarding was used, and it was during the interrogation of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed through waterboarding that this information was learned.
So KSM gave it up? Mohammed himself gave it up?
KSM gave us the first lead, and then later on, Alibi, who also was a top aide to bin Laden, he was also being interrogated with strong interrogation measures, and he confirmed information about the courier. So key information we got on a very, very vital part.
That is absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. You're not going to hear that on the other networks, I guarantee you. Now,
also, Bill, I can tell you, I've spoken to people who've seen the pictures of bin Laden, and I wouldn't be surprised if these are made public, because even though he was shot in the face, the wound is not that bad, so it's not going to be scaring people off, and there's not a reason not to show it.
Yeah, they'll have to put them out there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, because you have these crazy conspiratorialists and all of
that. Right.
Now, so they waterboard these guys, and they get the name of one of bin Laden's couriers, all right? So he goes on the wanted list, and he goes on the let's find out, and they spot him in Pakistan. And then they follow him around for a couple of years, and he leads him to this compound. Now, let's fast forward up to this weekend. Are you insulted that you didn't know anything about this? Because not only did President Obama not tell the Pakistani authorities, he didn't tell Congress anything about it either. Was that a good move?
Yes, it was. I think the less people know about these, the better. Now, I was told an hour and a half before the president went on television, I was the only members of Congress who was advised of that. No, Bill, because if he tells me, he has to tell others. And once that's out there, I mean, you saw yesterday, last night, a very few members of Congress were informed, very small number, were informed about 60 minutes to an hour and a half before the president spoke on television. That was all over television within that first hour. It was already being leaked that it was bin Laden who was killed. We were told that under strict confidence, and yet it got out. No, we can't compromise missions. I have no problem with this at all. Now, it's possible the speaker knew. It's possible maybe the chairman of the Intelligence Committee knew. But no, I'm not one of these people. My ego is not hurt. I was told before the president spoke. We actually with the president tonight. So, no,
I kind of agree with you. I mean,
yeah.
I think that any kind of news like this, and remember, that I don't think people understand. I did this in Iraq and Afghanistan when I...
I don't know for those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really start to get the after a while.
But that's why it's on, to make a point.
Yeah. Is
Obama morphing into Bush?
Yeah.
He is Bush.
He is Bush. The old Busha. Anyway, it's kind of sick to watch this. Let's see. Let's go back here and see what we got. Do. Get the Osama deception.
Mm.
If you want to play that.
Yeah, I think that's important. This is an important thing to hear.
Okay. It's 11 minutes, but Pete will probably be calling in soon.
We'll just listen to part of it.
Okay. This is the Osama.
This video is brought to you by The Corbett Report, 2009 Video Archive. Buy your copy today at corbettreport.com.
Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com with your Sunday update for this 8th day of May, 2011. And now for the real news. Osama bin Laden has allegedly been shot dead by Navy SEALs at a private residence in Abbottabad, Pakistan, according to one of numerous contradictory reports given by the U.S. government this week. In the latest development, soundless videos of someone seen from behind watching a TV image of Osama have been released along with years-old tape to convince the public that the person allegedly shot and killed last Sunday was, in fact, Osama bin Laden. It has yet to be explained how the release of this footage in any way supports the idea that Osama bin Laden was shot and killed last week and immediately buried at sea, nor how silent, undated images of someone who may or may not have been bin Laden disprove the assertion made by numerous heads of state and counterterrorism officials that he has, in fact, been dead for years.
Do you think he's alive or dead?
I've said before that I don't think he's alive.
Do you believe that?
I have a strong feeling, and I have some reason to believe that, because I've asked my counterparts in the American intelligence agencies, and they haven't heard of him for 7 years.
But I'm asking what you specifically believe, because I saw a quotation from you in which you said that you believed bin Laden had died several years ago. So I'm just trying to determine what you individually believe on that issue.
Yes, I think he died. He perished some years ago, and I think this was a story which was created.
That's why I know that, because we understand our code of ethics and creed. Osama bin Laden died. When we went into Afghanistan, General Tommy Franks had stated very clearly that he had died and he made a slip. Now, we knew he had already died. By that time, by the time we had already gone into Afghanistan, he was, and in Pakistan, we knew he was dead.
The administration has been able to dominate the 24/7 news cycle for 1 week now by providing a completely unskeptical establishment media with a story that, it now turns out, was completely wrong in every respect, and then retracting that story piece by piece throughout the week. Originally, it was announced that bin Laden was killed after the SEALs stormed an opulent compound and engaged in an intense firefight with Al-Qaeda operatives, including bin Laden himself, who not only returned fire, but used his own wife as a human shield. Since then, that version of events has been amended to state that the SEALs stormed a relatively spartan, unremarkable house, that only one of the people there actually attempted to use a gun, and that bin Laden did not return fire or use his wife as a shield. Now, many analysts are noting that the confusion around the narrative of the killing is a deliberate tactic to keep the public talking about an event for which absolutely no evidence has been provided and which has been outright contradicted by numerous experts and witnesses. And we were able to monitor on a real-time basis the progress of the operation from its commencement to its time on target to the extraction of the remains and to then the egress off of the target.
What about at the White House Situation Room where President Obama was? Did he have any, was he seeing anything, any actual time, real-time action going on as well?
I think they were viewing some of the real-time aspects of this as well in terms of the intelligence that we were getting.
So do you think, did the president see the shots fired at Osama bin Laden?
No, not at all.
Was there anything about this house that you found suspicious, that you found strange about?
To be honest, I always go in the evening, walk from my house to the same house where they said the Osama bin Laden, the next house is my other house, which I rented to my cousin friend. And I, every day in the evening, we went there by walk with my wife for the just walking. I never seen anything like that, and that's why I can't believe that. And to be honest, it's not true. Osama.
For possible use in other situations where the government would prefer the public to believe evidence-free assertions merely on their say-so. The possible uses for this technique have already been suggested by pundits. The FBI, for instance, could claim to have buried the surveillance tapes from the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building at sea, but provide DNA evidence to prove that the tapes did not show a John Doe number 2 or secondary explosions at the building. The Institute of Standards and Technology could claim that they have buried the data for their WTC-7 collapse model at sea, but they still have their computer animations to prove that the building collapsed into itself at free-fall gravitational acceleration due to scattered asymmetrical fires. The Bush administration could claim that they did, in fact, find Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, but buried them at sea before they could produce evidence for their existence. Cautioning, however, regardless of the particular details of this incident, more worrying is how the incident is now being used to position the Americans and Pakistanis on a more antagonistic footing, potentially opening the door for greater conflict in the Middle East and, indeed, around the globe.
Well, this is an excellent
We can come back to that possibly after,
audio
after Peter's segment.
For, off YouTube on the Osama deception. It's quite good. And we can possibly come back to that and listen to the rest of it.
Yeah.
But right at this time, We have Woody with us, and we're going to play his music.
Okay.
It's down here. Step into the ring with Woody.
Thank you, Lila. How's my connection this evening?
Well, you sound pretty good right there.
That's great. I know last week we had a little issue.
Okay.
Great. Well, good evening, sports fans. Watch your heads on the ropes as you step into the ring with Woody. Tonight's topics, Death on the Mountain, the NBA playoffs, NFL news, and, of course, baseball. All right, let's get down to it. Milan, Italy. Belgian cyclist Wouter Wieland died yesterday after a high-speed downhill crash at the Giro d'Italia, the first death in a major cycling race in some 16 years. The 26-year-old rider fell during a descent more than 12 miles from the finish in northern Italy. He lay motionless and bleeding heavily on the roadside before paramedics removed his helmet and tried to resuscitate him. He was unconscious with a fracture of the skull, base, and facial damage, Euro doctor Giovanni Tradisi said. After 40 minutes of cardiac massage, we had to suspend the resuscitation because there was nothing more we could do. His body was then covered with a sheet and taken away by ambulance about an hour after the accident. Things like this absolutely shouldn't happen. It makes me sick to the stomach, according to British cyclist Mark Cavendish. That's something he mentioned on Twitter. David Vagano, one of Wieland's teammates, described the descent as a technical one with smooth asphalt. I wasn't told about what had happened during the race, he said. I'm at a loss for words. Wieland rode for Leopard Trek, the team that put a rider of a smiling rider on its website. The team is left in a state of shock and sadness, and I guess, we all want to send our condolences, to the team and the family and friends of Mr. Wouter. Having been to that part of Italy, I know that it's very mountainous, so, doesn't surprise me that there was an accident there. It's kind of mind-boggling that it was a fatality. I guess maybe his heart was pumping so fast, that the trauma just might have just killed him, But it's a very intense sport. It really gets the heart pumping and everything else. So, maybe that compounded the accident. One will never know. Anyway, moving on. The NBA playoffs are really kicking it in gear. We've got some interesting stuff going on. The Chicago-Atlanta series is currently tied at 2. If it wasn't for, a bad call by the refs, Chicago would probably be up 3-1. However, that's not the case. Game 5 is tonight in Chicago. Bulls are favored by 9. I'm sure they're going to handle their business, although Atlanta's not going to go down easily. They'll be going kicking and screaming. The Miami-Boston series, kind of not what it was, led up to be. I thought it was going to be a much better series. Boston has appeared to be what it is, old, and Miami has, certainly been more athletic and more opportunistic. And when they, when they beat Boston in overtime, that kind of put the stake in Boston. So screw Boston anyway. I hate Boston. It's a shame that Miami is going to move on, and they'll probably beat Chicago and move to the finals. Out in the West, the Lakers absolutely laid down against Dallas. They were swept 4-0. I kind of enjoyed this. Many times people compare Kobe Bryant to Michael Jordan, and let me assure you, Michael Jordan would never be on a team that was swept 4-0. I can assure you, Jordan would do his damnedest to win at least a game. He would never be swept, and certainly not in the playoffs, But, the problem that the Lakers have is just absolutely enormous. Phil Jackson's out of there. even he, the Swami of all, couldn't make that team gel. They just have so many issues in that locker room, and there's just so many problems. You know, according to former Laker great Magic Johnson, you know, they're going to have to blow off the team and start from scratch. And, you know, obviously, the player that you're going to have to keep is Kobe. You can still build a team around him. You know, he's still a relatively young guy. He can still score 25 points without, you know, with a blink of an eye. So we'll see what happens with the Lakers next season. That's going to be very interesting. Also, I wouldn't be surprised if Phil Jackson mosey on over to the New York Knicks and is their coach in a couple of seasons. Wouldn't surprise me. He always kind of had his eye on that job, and, you know, that would be kind of interesting. The Oklahoma and Memphis series, Memphis is up 2-1. Frankly, I don't think Dallas really cares who they have to face. Both teams are relatively young and athletic, and they would pose Dallas with some problems. But I would say it looks like Dallas is going to the finals. It'll probably be a Dallas-Miami final. And, God, I would really hope Dallas beats Miami. I just couldn't stomach it if LeBron gets himself a ring, you know, his first year out of the gate in Miami. It was just going to be horrible. Anyway, that's it's going to be interesting finals, and you know we'll see what happens here. I mean, you know, maybe Chicago can't, you know, Chicago's got to beat Atlanta before they face Miami, but maybe they'll be able to get through Miami. But frankly, I think Chicago's probably short one scorer. They need one more scorer in order to move on to the next level. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it this year. But it definitely bears some watching that. Derrick Rose is great. You know, kid's absolutely fantastic. Well, you know, what a draft pick, you know. The guy's absolutely fantastic. Anyway, moving on to the NFL. In legal arguments filed Monday with a federal appeals court in St. Louis, the NFL again said a judge in Minnesota lacked jurisdiction when she ordered an end to the lockout, and she erred in ruling that it would irreparably harm players. The league wants the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals to overturn the April 25th ruling by U.S. District Judge Susan Richard Nelson. She issued a preliminary injunction to end the lockout. Her ruling has since been stayed while considering an antitrust suit filed against the league by 10 players. Nelson's ruling failed entirely to consider the serious, immediate, and irreparable harm the injunction posed to the NFL. It vastly overstated both the harm to the plaintiffs and the nature of that harm, and it failed to properly consider the public interest, according to NFL attorneys. Blah, blah, blah. The players have until May 20th to file a response. The league will get to reply by May 26th, and a hearing is set for June 3rd for oral arguments on the appeal. Meanwhile, the lockout continues. That began on March 12th. Free agency, contract signings, and team activities involving players remain on hold. The 8th Circuit granted a temporary stay of Nelson's order April 29th. NFL request for a longer stay is pending. In the brief, the NFL argued that Nelson lacked jurisdiction to end the lockout. It claimed the Norris LaGuardia Act prohibits injunctions against lockouts. The NFL again noted that players would have claims for triple damages if they win their lawsuit alleging antitrust violations by the league. Such damages would be more than adequate to remedy any possible harm caused by the lockout, the NFL said. Yeah, I hear you, but not really. I think that argument, you know, has a lot of faults to it, you know. Just because, you know, the players are suing for triple the amount, I mean, so what? So what? What does that have to do with the, you know, price of a can of paint? Absolutely not. The NFL is wrong, and this lockout is wrong. I definitely understand what the players are talking about. Definitely siding on the side of the players. A lot of people don't like to take the side of the players because they're like, oh, these guys are overpaid. And don't get me wrong, these guys are certainly overpaid, and it's really millionaires fighting with billionaires. But you have to remember, a lot of these guys, and I do mean a lot of these guys, their time in the NFL is maybe, you know, 2 or 3 years. Not everyone pulls down Peyton Manning's salary, you know, some of these receiver salaries. Not everybody gets that kind of money. And not everybody is in the league for 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I mean, your earning power is, what, 3 years or something? I mean, that's not a very big window. And then you're banged up for the rest of your life? I mean, that's pretty harsh. And the owners just sit there and count their money. I mean, they're out there, you know, risking anything. So, you know, you really got to take the side of the players. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, moving forward to a little bit of baseball news. It's all set for batting practice. American League MVP Josh Hamilton, he's finally set to take batting practice Friday. That will be a month and a day after getting hurt. The Texas Rangers say Hamilton would take swings provided he keeps progressing in his recovery from a broken bone in his upper arm. Hamilton started taking swings off a tee and a soft toss pitches with a lighter fungal bat last week and took swings with his game bat for the first time Sunday. He was hurt, I believe, on April 12th with a head-first dive in the home plate. And then he talked a little bit of junk about his third base coach. He, you know, shouldn't have waved him on and this and that or whatever. But Hamilton's definitely a beast. I happened to be at Yankee Stadium for the home run derby where he set the record. He hit, you know, 20-something home runs there in one round. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. The guy is a beast. You know, the game is better when he's back in it. And certainly the Texas Rangers are better when he's back in the game. Speaking of being out of the game, the Seattle Mariners cut slumping outfielder Milton Bradley and his $13 million salary, designating him for assignment Monday. Bradley, 33, was hitting .218 with two home runs and 13 RBIs in 28 games. Bradley also believes that the landing on the moon was false. I'm also wondering if he doesn't believe Osama bin Laden is dead. Kind of a whack job and a former Red Sox, so I definitely don't like him. Agent change. New York Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez has hired Dan Lozano to be his agent after ending a career-long relationship with Scott in September. I'm looking forward to starting a new chapter in my life with Danny. According to A-Rod, he has no doubt with the team in place, we are headed for a bright future together. Rodriguez is in a fourth year of a 10-year, $275 million contract. Now, why would A-Rod need an agent, you say? He already has a long-term deal, which is probably going to take him into retirement. Well, I think there's a beef over the amount of money that his former agent, Scott Boras, is going to get out of that $275 million. As you recall, A-Rod kind of curbed Boras and took over the negotiations himself when contract had ended before and he opted out and everything else and things got ugly and it looked like he was going to go somewhere else. And, you know, he was like, ooh, Yankees like to pay and I kind of like being a Yankee and so on and so forth. So I think this is really just about, you know, how much money Scott Boras is going to get out of that $275 million. Speaking of the Yankees, Brian Cashman apparently has no problem giving Jorge Posada a little more time to adjust to his designated hitter role. Posada, he's a switch hitter. He's currently batting 152, which is 14 for 99. He has a double and a lot of strikeouts. He's got some home runs. I don't even think he has a hit off a lefty this year. And, wow, he's giving away a lot of at-bats. He just doesn't look good. I don't know. Frankly, if Eric Chavez was available, which he is not, obviously, you know, he broke that bonus wood running from second to third last week, I think I would probably start setting Posada on a semi-regular basis because every time you put Chavez in the lineup, the guy does something. You just can't afford to give away at bats, especially right now. It seems like the Yankees are like in a team slump, frankly. They hit a lot of home runs, but no one is batting 300. I think, you know, somebody like around 290, somebody's around 280, you know, but no one's hitting over 300, which for a Yankee team is kind of bizarre. Usually you should look at the Yankees and see a lot of guys like hovering around 300 or over 300 or just under 300, but, you know, it's just not looking too good. Jeter finally picked it up a little bit. You know, he's had a very hot road trip. Brett Gardner's been hitting a lot better. He's been getting on base. I mean, you got to like that. A-Rod has had a bit of a power outage. He's in a bit of a slump. He hasn't hit a home run in quite some time. Frankly, Jeter's problems were kind of masking A-Rod's. And now that Jeter's kind of hitting, people are like looking at A-Rod's average going, hey, what the hell's going on with him? He's had five home runs for like the last month and a half. What's going on? You know, the Yankees really have to get their averages up. You're not going to consistently hit home runs, and you're certainly not going to do it against good pitching. So that's definitely got to change. You know, what you do like from the Yankees is that pitching has been definitely better than what you expected. I mean, I thought it was going to be, you know, I thought Cologne was going to be a good fill-in. I certainly didn't think Hughes was going to disappear the way that's happened. But I wasn't too worried about our pitching. A lot of people were, but, hey, we'll see what happens. The Mets right now are just plagued by injuries. It's just like, it seems like they have more than their fair share of injuries. You know, they got a couple things going right. You know, Beltran's hitting the ball pretty good. He's batting great from the right-hand side. You know, so you got to like that. But, you know, he's trade bait. By the half season comes to, halftime, and, he's going to be gone. I mean, the Mets are probably going to have a big-time fire sale. Reyes will probably be gone, too. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Wright could be gone. You know, Beltran, I mean, it's just Mets are just going to get blown up, at halftime. We'll just see what happens. So, anyway, that's it for this week. Shout out to all my Woodheads out there, Ron, Mark, Leo, Dino, Troy, Greg at AFS, everyone at the Northeast Athletic Club, Money Mike. The grass is green and the leaves are popping. Here comes summer, everybody. Till next week.
Thank you, Woody.
a big part of the solution, after you research all the government terrorism and check out what I'm saying is true, call the White House and tell them, we know the government's planning terrorism. We know Oklahoma City and World Trade Center was terrorism. We know the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to blow up airliners, Baltimore Sun. If you do it, we're going to blame you because we know who's up to it. Or if you let some terrorist group do it, like the World Trade Center, we know who to blame. And you could save the planet. I'm calling it Operation Expose the Government Terror.
But clearly, we have said that as the economy implodes, as they launch these new wars, that they would then bring in stage terror. And this death of Bin Laden is a psychological resurrection of him. Then they introduced the four new Bin Ladens, three of which on record trained in the U.S., two of which on record absolutely worked for the federal government at the highest levels of black ops. And they're so arrogant, it's just admitted everywhere, but still it's not kosher to point that out. So they're rolling them out just like they did pre-9/11. I'm seeing the exact same preconditioning. So maximum, total red alert. Everyone, and in fact, I'm going to ask Aaron Dykes to do this next hour. We need to get the White House number, the Congress number, the switchboard, launch Operation Expose the Government Terrorist, Part 2. I haven't done this in 10 years since July of 2001.
Now, please go to CorbettReport.com to download episode 185 of the.
Now, it's Jones as well.
Warning us that that's just.
And that he actually.
Dragged out to.
He warned us in November, July of 2001 that if Osama, or if there was an attack on the World Trade Center or something. And remember, in 92, there was an attack on the World Trade Center.
That's right.
So, but he's saying if there was another attack, it would be a false flag attack, and they would blame it on some guy like Osama bin Laden.
And they sure
and
did.
And that's exactly what they did 2 months later.
Yeah.
It always amazes me how Alex gets the inside scoop on these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. That troubles me, too, a little bit.
Oh, somebody got to know, I guess.
Yeah.
U.S. supported. Why don't we go to a quick music break? Would you like that? And then we
okay.
can come back. And we got a few really good articles and things for you to talk about. For instance, U.S. supported the Afghan government warlord control. Warlords control the heroin trade. World heroin trade.
Florida cuts unemployment benefits to pay for corporate tax cuts.
And China to U.S. If you mess with Pakistan, you will be messing with China. So
we'll have to do that as well.
Yeah, that's about a minute or so. And so that's coming up. And we'll be back. And sure.
Yeah.
Let's see what's a good week play here.
All is not lost.
Yeah, that's always good. That's a good one. Sorry, God.
Blues.
Burnt Rubber Blues.
Okay. Spokesman who acknowledged that GE's 2010 tax bill will be small when it files sometime before September. It just makes you want to throw up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that fraud from the waist, the head down. It's just fraud. Here's another one. Florida cuts unemployment benefits to pay for corporate tax cuts.
Okay, this is a big corporate tax cut for a company that pays no taxes.
That pays no taxes. Okay, even before the legislation, Florida's benefits were among the stingiest in the nation. Once it becomes law, Floridians will not receive the national standard of 26 weeks of unemployment benefits unless the state's unemployment rate, currently at 11.1%, tops 12%. As the Miami Herald pointed out, the bill also makes it easier for companies to keep former workers from collecting benefits. Adding insult to injury, the money saved from cutting unemployment benefits will be used to reduce business taxes in a state where the corporate tax rate is already exceedingly low. Scott had been looking to cut corporate taxes even further, but was rebuffed by the legislature.
Well, you wonder what he got for that personally.
Probably
going back on the board.
Some basic big bucks. All right, let's see. The bill will be established. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Yeah, a second. In the last few months, conservatives in several states have moved to limit unemployment benefits, even with a national unemployment rate of 9% and more, with 40% of the unemployment having been out of work for 6 months or more. Conservative lawmakers in Utah falsely claimed that cutting jobless benefits would be motivation for people to get back to work, while Michigan gutted its unemployment insurance system despite having one of the highest unemployment rates in the nation. And Florida Republicans this weekend also succeeded in reducing their state unemployment benefits,
which you just read about,
sending a bill to Governor Rick Scott for a signature. A bill that will establish some of the deepest and most far-reaching cuts in unemployment benefits in the nation, heading for the desk of Rick Scott, the governor. The legislation would cut maximum state benefits to 23 weeks from 26 weeks when the jobless rate is 10.5% or higher. If lower, the maximum would decline on a sliding scale and the bottoming at 12 weeks if the jobless rate was 5% or less. As the National Employment Law Project pointed out, with this bill, Florida will go further than any other state in dismantling its unemployment insurance system. The Republican sponsor of the bill, State Senator Nancy Detter, Republican, relied on the same false assumption that the lawmakers in Utah, saying that cutting benefits encourages people to get back to the market.
There are no jobs.
Research by the San Francisco Federal Reserve has found that workers who qualify for unemployment benefits stay unemployed just 1.6 weeks longer than those who do not qualify for such benefits. But even before...
That's what you read.
Yeah. But even before the legislation, Florida benefits were among the stingiest in the nation.
Adding insult to injury, the money saved from...
Once it becomes law.
You read that.
26 weeks, okay.
Adding insult to injury, the money saved from cutting unemployment benefits will be used to reduce business taxes. This is in Florida.
Right.
In a state where the corporate tax rate is already exceedingly low. Scott has been looking to cut corporate taxes even further, but was rebuffed by the legislature.
So you got a real piece of shit here as a governor.
Horrible.
Just like we do here in our state. And it seems like every state in the union got themselves a piece of crap for a governor.
Well, instead of looking into anything creative like a bank, like a state bank.
Or
sharing the burden with the wealthy.
Right.
It's just cut the people at the bottom. That's all.
Right. So China to the USA. If you mess with Pakistan, you'll be messing with China.
Let's find out what that's all about.
This is by, Bin Laden's death leaves world in fear of fresh terrorist attacks. It's 1 minute long. Hang on.
Let's see what this
is. It was based on a 500-page, rather exhaustive book that I've written, 9/11 Synthetic, Made in USA. I think this is a completely manufactured, invented story created out of whole cloth by the U.S. intelligence community, primarily for the purpose of targeting Pakistan, and there's been a build-up to it. We had a very harsh statement condemning Pakistan in one of the terror reports of the U.S. government. We had Admiral Mullen visiting Pakistan, accusing them of being accomplices of the terrorist Haqqani network. We then had the CIA limited hangout operation known as WikiLeaks targeting Pakistan, the Washington Post putting that on the front page. The center of gravity of al-Qaeda was always Pakistan, and now we have this manufactured story. Abbottabad, allegedly the hiding place, the lair of bin Laden for the past 6 years. It's totally fantastic, but the purpose is clear enough. They're targeting Pakistan for more attacks. The Chinese government has understood this immediately. We have a very strong statement from China this morning, basically saying to the U.S., if you mess with Islamabad, you will be messing with Beijing, and this will get into something much bigger than you thought.
We just noticed we got Johnny on the line.
We have John on the line with
us.
We weren't sure you were going to give us a call in here tonight, John.
Yeah, I was kind of late getting back from work. My cell phone was dead, so sorry I didn't have a chance to contact you. It was I was up in the Salisbury area. My Sprint telephone has no service from there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I've forgotten that. That doesn't work very well there.
Yeah, I was watching the forest fire up in the background near where you live up there.
Yeah, 55 acres up on Bear Mountain were burning.
Is that
that's,
right?
That's on the Appalachian Trail for our listeners. And I think that probably intersected with three states, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York.
Wow. Yeah, it seemed we could really just see an amount of smoke, but the winds had certainly changed the direction of the fire.
They called that fire in at 11 o'clock last night.
Okay, yeah, I did hear it on the news this morning, and it didn't look that big this morning when we passed into the Salisbury, Connecticut area, but this evening it was after moving quite a lot. So I was just very glad to hear you had that last piece on there about the bin Laden false flag operation, I guess is what we call it.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot about that.
We did.
That was true, right?
It was on that, yeah.
That was Webster Tarpley you had just played there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now, his view is that if you mess with Pakistan, you'll be messing with China. And he feels that we're running up to a confrontation with China.
Well, of course, that may be all the plan is to get us into World War III. Many of the different analysts, Alex Jones, people who have been doing this, following this stuff for a long time, have suggested that this would be right in the plans of the New World Order gang to, you know, once you get a war like this, out of the war, crushing all the economies. They've been doing that anyway, killing the economies across the world. And you'll get your New World Order out of the end of World War III. World War I, as we know, they ended up getting the League of Nations, which was the plan all along. World War II, the United Nations, which incidentally has never stopped any war ever since. It's a complete joke. And it's all it has been able to do is bring the people of Europe into this ridiculous United Europe that they all now hate. They've all lost their sovereignty. They have little mini police states all over the place. And, no money. You all know what's happened in Ireland, right? That, you know, the people's houses were given this inflated value. Everybody who had a house worth 40,000 was then told it was worth 400, and they remortgaged their houses and bought apartments to rent out in Spain. Some people had their houses paid off, you know, years ago. Now they're in debt. Intergenerationally, their children will be paying it back because they bought cars and put extensions on the houses. They just went into an American lifestyle from an Irish lifestyle, which was, you know, pretty I wouldn't say meager, but it was certainly not on the spending scale that we would in a country this size. Their country is
miles long by
200 miles wide, so. They tried to outdo us in their lifestyle in 20 years, and it looked really good, but The big banksters just took advantage of them and they pulled the plug.
Yeah, just like they did here.
Well, they pulled the plug here on many, many people.
Well, speaking of pulling the plug, a lot of people down in the Mississippi Delta area are tonight probably watching their houses go underwater.
Yeah.
I had talked, I think, maybe last week or the week before about it, that I didn't believe the tornadoes that touched down were completely natural. And the powers that be seem to be ramping up efforts to drive a stake right into America's heart or the heartland. Now, these natural disasters, as we know, are on the rise, and an increasing amount of evidence is leading to the conclusion that these natural disasters might not be completely natural. Some already have speculated that we're entering a time of weather and earthquake wars, as the incidence of these mega disasters has risen all across the world. Is government experimentation simply going awry, you know, with the chemtrails and stuff like that, or is it being orchestrated on purpose? Are they hiding behind or even amplifying current natural earth changes, such as the strong solar cycle and the ongoing magnetic pole shift, to accomplish some, you know, furtive sort of a plot? The hand has always cloaked itself using a wide array of techniques to conceal its divide and conquer agenda, and by owning the ultimate weapon, perhaps the weather weapon, like the HAARP technology we often spoke about, the very climate upon which we all depend, and entire regions can now be put under a full spectrum of remote control, you know, already served up through climate change, economic instability, and the military surveillance complex, which is brought in under the false threat of terrorism. And that's been, you know, further hammered in now since the death of Osama bin Laden. And, you know, it's the first story in every news station you hear. So let's first look at the evidence for the manipulation of natural disasters and the proposed government solutions. And then I'll move on to the massive preparation being undertaken by FEMA, indicating that something big is on the way for the area of the New Madrid Fault. I know you've probably talked about this. And, you know, as indicated by the current cluster of disasters in that region, there's definitely something going on. And then we'll finish with the solutions at our disposal to thwart the efforts of the elite cabal of gangsters that seeks to control humanity. So let's see some evidence of a plan. The predictive programming we have to talk about. This is where the groundwork is laid for directing people towards a sort of an imagined future through the books, video games, movies, propaganda placement in these, and education. The passive receiving of orchestrated information can literally change the future. The elites have always obsessed about mind control, and the best form is that which is the least obvious. So you could be watching television and they can put little tricks into your head, you know, the flash rate of the TV, the flicker rate they call it. Now, the unaware are manipulated and controlled without a single shot being fired or a single piece of legislation written. However, once one becomes attuned to their methods, such as I have and you guys have, and hopefully a lot of the listeners, it becomes pretty obvious. Besides the constant bombardment of mega disasters and end of the world scenarios, one prime current example is geoengineering, also known as the chemtrails. And this chemtrail spraying has now wormed into movies and public places as an example for children to embrace the new normal of planes laying down the tic-tac-toe murky gloom across our skies. The HAARP, which is the High Active Auroral Research Program, which is based up in Gaycona, Alaska, is under constant scrutiny. And there's 64 other facilities like this around the world, so it's not just in the United States. And the researchers track the relationships of these weather modification facilities and earthquake activity. You know, we don't know exactly which one triggers it. We don't have the equipment, but it's certainly they're capable of this. The facilities are scattered, I guess, throughout the United States, the biggest one being Gaycon, Alaska, and there's ones in Russia, and there's ones in Australia, somewhere offshore. Now, the flooding that has happened in the new Madrid area is absolutely so severe and unprecedented that the locals are saying that it seems like the whole area is sinking. It's really freaking people out. You're not seeing a lot of sort of interviews with just Joe Soap on the street there. It's just reporters standing by a camera telling you what's going on. It is thought this weather manipulating technology is being tested and fine-tuned for worldwide use, as other such antenna arrays are located, like I said, in Norway. That's called the IceCat, and the Australian one is Exmouth. And there are other space-based facilities as well. I don't want to get too technical here in the short time I got. Benjamin Fulford is a writer who claims to have spoken to insiders about specific threats made to Japan prior to the 9.0 seismic event that happened there. And there are actually videos showing distant vibrational patterns as well as purported punch holes that have been sighted in the atmosphere. So this increased HARP activity seems to correspond. And curiously, the HARP site was taken down shortly after the Japan earthquake happened. So while the evidence that exists is somewhat, you know, tangential, the HARP's stated capabilities are indeed ground penetrating. The geoengineering, which is, you know, the chemtrailing, it's the most obvious part of the elite plan for global control. And books like Eco-Science by Obama's science czar, John Holdren, say something to the tune of the military plans for owning the weather by 2025. And there's also a thing, the recent Royal Society proclamation, you know, about weather control. They point to a relatively small group of selected, what I'm going to call sociopaths, who would love to play God with our climate. And I certainly think they are doing it, and probably being funded by Bill and Melinda Gates and their foundation. They have expressed interest in manipulating the climate and reducing the population. I'll just let you get in there. Sorry, I don't want to keep...
No, go right ahead.
Also, there's evidence in that a whole chemical cocktail which contains dangerous levels of toxic particles such as barium and aluminum are in these chemtrails, and Monsanto seems to have accepted this reality. They are basically creating crops that are aluminum resistant. So it's an aluminum resistant gene basically, and they're inserting this in the genetically modified crops. So the aluminum that's coming down in the atmosphere, albeit microscopic to your naked eye, it's what you would call nano particulate size. You'd need an electron microscope to see it, unless you go out on a clear night in midsummer. Right now is not a good time because, you know, the pollen's falling, and you could mistake it for that. But you get a bright LED light or one of those 5 million candle power lights, shine it up into the sky at nighttime and look into the beam. You will be shocked at what you'll see. It looks like it's snowing. And that's what you're breathing in all the time. These are tiny aluminum particles. So the crops, you know, that normally wouldn't tolerate this, they'd be weak.
Mm-hmm.
It affects things like rhododendrons in your gardens around here. It changes the acidic soil to a more alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, for crops, you'll definitely see a weaker crop. So like I said, they are adding this aluminum-resistant gene. That's a major thing to find out, that they're doing that. So for a company to make that step, this is huge. Why would they do that?
What would be the purpose of it?
Right, unless they
changed.
Know that other crops are going to be failing. So that you'll be dependent on them.
On Monsanto. Mm-hmm.
Monsanto, yeah, they're obviously linked very closely, like with all these other corporations, like Archer Daniels Midland, and
all the food companies,
Conagra, and some of those other big, commercial growing companies, the corporate farms, as what you call it, that hire mostly foreigners, Mexicans, and anybody else English, and doesn't ask questions. I'm kind of talking about something a little different here now. There's something called GWEN Towers. I've talked about those before, the Ground Wave Emergency Network. These basically give out a lot of electromagnetic energy. It's known that the toxic soup of these electromagnetic waves already in place, comes from these power lines, cell towers, the Wi-Fi in McDonald's or wherever, in your own apartment maybe, the radio, TV, and a host of other broadcasting devices. All of this stuff has a serious effect on human health and mental well-being, and probably some people are affected more than others. They can get bad headaches from it. In a way, they're lucky because they can get away from it. And it's various localized outposts and the GWEN Towers, that again is Ground Wave Emergency Network, has all the known capacity to affect human thought. So whether it's part of dumbing us down or, keeping us from getting angry or something, we're just real pacified. I don't know. I'm really astonished sometimes that people don't get extremely angry, even when it's, just finding out that the gas that you paid $2.90 for a while back is now $4.13, $4.17. Really, nobody talks about it. It's just, what can you do? Just carry on. As I said, they could march Russian troops down the street here in army tanks, and I really think people wouldn't even notice anymore. I really do get that feeling. I mean, the guys I work with, everything you tell them, it's just a conspiracy theory. You're a conspiracy theorist. Everything is a conspiracy theorist. They buy the official story. I mean, I said to them at the times, do you think the government has ever lied to the American people? And really, the answer is, no, maybe once or something. And they asked them a specific time. They can't really cite when they lied. They believe the JFK assassination was, Oswald. And I just gave up trying to talk to these people. And sometimes I hope it's not that they're that stupid, that it must be the electromagnetic brainwash that they've got.
I'm sure. But, it's a frustrating thing. We've talked about it a lot. But, when we see this stuff happening around us, John, we see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that too. I don't know how else to combat it. And I have to tell you, on my Facebook, I've got probably several hundred chemtrail advocates that are, organizations around the world that we've have been acquainted with. And there's a movement out there, John, a national and international movement to stop this stuff and make people aware of it. But unfortunately, it's not much is happening there. And
they're so far ahead of us, though.
Yeah,
That's the problem.
Just starting to organize. They're just starting to get people.
And they're well into the implementation stage and
past. Oh, God, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you had saw the video I sent you earlier tonight. I'll have to try and explain this to the listeners, trying to, explain what a video is about. There was a video sent to me by an investigative journalist, D.B. Donovan from California. I've been following this chemtrail stuff for a long time. He found something today. It was a BBC documentary. I guess I just saw it an hour and a half ago. I don't really remember the name. It's not important right now. On this documentary, the BBC reporter or journalist or I guess producer of the show, whatever you want to call him, he's there, and they're at this facility in the middle of the Midwest. And I'm not going to say the state because I might get it wrong. Apparently, NASA built this big facility. It looks just like where the shuttle would take off, Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
Picture that in your mind, big tall thing, big crane-like thing, and, tracks and all sorts of steel structures. And there's this huge cloud bellowing out of it, like as if a rocket is launching.
Really?
Unsure what I was looking at first. And after a while, the guy, who, the BBC guy who's doing the film, the documentary, said, what you see here is a NASA facility where they bought this land and they bought off all the people around. In other words, they told them that the noise would be so loud that if they ever wanted to have a peaceful life again, they wouldn't even be able to listen to their television. The testing would go on here day and night for maybe 10 years. Most people took the NASA money and left. And apparently there's like 10,000 miles in all directions, and there's nothing. What they do there was they tested, they have these giant speakers, and it was supposed to simulate the sound of a rocket taking off. And they had the trucks go off for miles and miles and miles. These huge speakers would blare the sound of like a rocket taking off. And when they could barely hear it, that would be the zone that the people could move back into, sort of, you know. But it was miles and miles and miles away. This thing is so loud. They said it's the loudest sound on the planet. And they generate clouds from this thing. I've never seen anything like it. And the reporter is there. He's going, I don't believe what I'm seeing. He's pointing up to the sky. These clouds that you see in the sky above came out of this facility. They make these from, I forget what chemical he said. It's basically now it's water vapor or close to it. And he said, these will probably make it rain. They tell me this will make it rain downwind like a two wet days or something. And then a couple of minutes later, the camera goes back to him. This guy's going, oh, my God, it's raining right here. It was clear blue sky. It's raining. I don't believe these guys are playing God. NASA is playing God. I mean, I could probably bring up the clip. I mean, you just have to take my word for it. And he was really freaked out by it. Well, we've of course known that, you know, silver iodide can be used for cloud seeding. There are cloud seeding companies all over the United States, which the farmers use. Even that's Weather Modification Inc. If you go into your Google search and put that in, they're in North Dakota, and they'll got their phone number up there. You got the money, they'll make it rain for you, given the right conditions and the right amount of money. But this facility that NASA. And NASA, of course, you know, as we know, is basically part of the New World Order. It's the leftovers from Nazi Germany is what it is. Von Braun and his cronies were brought over to form NASA. And if they're using these facilities that no humans can ever see on the ground to create clouds, plus you add in the chemtrails, I mean, this is huge. This is the biggest story I've seen in 5 years. That if they've got facilities like this all over the place, perhaps all over the world, they can create weather on demand anytime. If they've got a way to control, they're using the supercomputers, they know where the clouds are going to go. They're able to control the jet stream. So
well, why isn't that? You would think every time I think that they're controlling this stuff, I look at these wildfires like in Texas that burned millions of acres in Texas just recently, and then the floods in Tennessee and the floods in Mississippi. And
think they would have sent a cloud over to Texas to stop the fire?
Absolutely. It's well within the reach of the technology today.
Why aren't they doing that? Why do you think they're not doing that, John?
Well, again, getting back to what I just said, it's all part of taking out the population. It is a population. They want them moved into the larger communities. They won't be able to go back there again. They're shifting. They're shifting the pattern of humans. You know, it's like herding cattle using the dogs. You're penning them in. You're sending them in a new direction. You want out of those small town communities. You want them all to go to Los Angeles or L.A. or New York. You know, they don't care.
You know what I just read tonight on the air was places like Boise, Idaho.
Yes.
They got 14,500 times more iodine in the air than anywhere else in the country. Okay, beyond the limits, 14,500%.
Fukushima.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And even Carthage, Connecticut, John, was up 600%. Okay,
They had a New York, Boston, Hartford. They were all way the hell up and
so our environment is really is really being affected. If it's not from a blown up nuclear plant, it's from
water. Yeah.
It's from chemtrails. It's from Monsanto doing things.
Yeah.
I mean, we seem to be bombarded at every turn with something.
Yeah.
Well, the guys in the New World Order are really, really gone completely crazy. I mean, they're psychopaths, sociopaths, whatever you want to call them. They're just absolute lunatics.
It seems to me they're waging war against the environment.
Well, they're waging war against humanity, but again, that's what, you know, the Satanist way of thinking is. That's exactly what they are doing.
Yeah.
It's hard for people to understand why they would do that, but... order out of chaos, you know, in the Masonic tradition, that's how they do it. You have to break down the old to build the new. It's like when they took out the Native American Indians, then, you know, you had this new America. Well, we're the new Native Americans, and they're taking us out, but it's a silent war. It's being done on the QT.
Yeah.
So we're in a battle we don't even know about. They're kicking our asses, and they've been doing it for a long time. They've been, I think the launch of it was the 9/11 events, and I think the killing of Osama bin Laden is sort of another...
like a milestone.
Another milestone, right. That's the best way I can describe it.
It's a journey. It's a milestone in their journey.
In their sick plan.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, I'm starting to understand what is going on behind the scenes, you know. Like, you know, I think you probably mentioned some of this, too. One was that our destruction for, you know, the future, it begins on May Day, you know, and I think it was last week you pointed out that the death of Hitler was 66 years to the date. Wasn't it 66 years? Also, the day that they captured bin Laden, it was the feast of Beltane, which is, you know, it's usually done by, they do human sacrifice on that day. That's the Satanist way. It's just a coincidence, I'm sure, you know. Indeed, it is a loose... it's a buzzword, you might call it, too. World War II ended symbolically when Hitler was taken out, and World War III, mostly in the Middle East, will begin probably about, you know, soon, with bin Laden's demise. You know, they're dying to get into Pakistan. So basically what has happened is they've cut the head off a hydra, and now many more heads are going to grow back in its place. Bin Laden's gone, so all these others. This is the story they're going to give us anyway. So we have to remember.
We have to remember
9/11 as our Pearl Harbor. And now Muslims have Osama bin Laden. So this is the catalyst to get the chaos flowing for a world war and to make, as I call him, Obama, not Obama, look presidential again, just in time for the elections. And also it distracts us from Obama's newest fake birth certificate, and also it unifies the Americans and the Muslims against each other. So, yes, our destruction probably did begin on May Day, you know, in terms of, you know, the searches, the new Patriot Act type of stuff, the fear. They're going to have to call you on your cell phone now with the new cell phones. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't want them calling me, even at the house here. You know, I don't want the big brother calling me to alert me that, you know, this has happened or that's happened. I just don't want that.
That means they have your number on their Rolodex. I don't want to be that convenient.
And it means that they're constantly promoting fear.
Or monitoring
fear.
It's like having a microchip in me. They're going to buzz my microchip to tell me that...
You got to get rid of the phone, dude.
Don't buy any new phones. Buy the older phones.
Get rid of the cell phones, you know?
Well, you buy the old...
Sorry, what?
Go to the recycling center, find the old cell phones and have them, you know, or you can get them overseas. You'll find ones that'll work. Don't get these new ones with all the apps and all this stuff, the Echo they're advertising now. Just do
it. Especially the Apple, man. You don't want that because that's the worst one.
Yeah.
And
well, we've come right to the end of our show. I'm really glad that you called, John. We weren't sure whether you would or not, so we were really pleased to hear from you, and that was a great report. We appreciate all that you bring to us.
Yeah, and I just have one final thing. I was getting to the end of this all. Now, I'm now kind of awaiting this new Madrid fault being triggered, you know, whether it's by flooding or the usual scalar stuff or whatever, and perhaps lots of nukes or bio attacks, whatever forms of... so-called retaliation. It won't be from the Muslims, folks. This will be an inside job, just like 9/11, to make United States folks fit the New World Order and give up your freedoms and get into a world with common currency. The microchip population will follow. So hopefully we can all at least have the heads up from listening to this show to be watching for it all.
Well, I hope so, John. And I appreciate your keeping us up to date on everything, and I hope you have a good week.
Okay, well, listen, thank you for having me on again, and thanks to all the people out there listening to me, and I look forward to being on next week.
Good. We'll talk to you real soon, John.
Take care, Johnny.
Good night, folks.
That was John Brennan talking to us about the environment and things that he's concerned about.
Why'd you hang up? He was going to listen up.
Well, we're finished.
Oh, yeah, but he was going to hang up. Okay, and we go to our music.
Yep.
Okay, this is somewhere.
I don't know, you moved it.
There we go.
Okay.
All right, and we want to thank everybody for joining us. Please join us tomorrow night, same time, same place, but for a one-hour program. Yeah, maybe we'll have Larry on tomorrow night.
Yeah, he wasn't able to get a hold of us tonight. He's probably busy doing all kinds of things.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll hear from him tomorrow, which should be really great.
Yeah, so...
And have a nice evening, folks.
All right, good night.